A beacon shining in the night, sometimes obscured by a shadow, reinforced by a wall of ice, always protected by a podcast overlord.
Their mission, to help the Green Arrow fight the darkness, corruption, and bring hope.
We are strong.
We are many.
We are the Arrow Squad.
Cammy, tell me your secret.
I have no secrets.
What do I got you imprisoned here for?
I really don't know. Probably for being a super villainous and trying to take over the world, but honestly, who knows these days?
Oh, geez. Welcome, Arrow Squad. This is Martin the Flash.
And this is Cammy the Chameleon.
We're here for Season 5, Episode 17, Capuchin?
Capuchin? Can we only say that once and never say it again for the rest of this episode? Because we're probably pronouncing it wrong.
Probably. But you know what was really cool? We found out what it meant. It means hood.
There we go. And we saw a lot of the hood origins, or the first bits of Oliver sort of fighting a lot more like Season 1 Oliver is pretty wild.
It was pretty wild.
This week was the flashback-heavy episode.
Mm-hmm. It was, definitely. But before we get to it, you've got a few little news items of noteworthiness towards our DC Universe stuff, don't you?
I do, and these are not really spoilers because this has been plastered everywhere all over all news.
Wait one second. I got a little something for us. I'm trying to make Arrow Squad a little more fun. You ready?
Here we go. I'm ready.
We interrupt this podcast for a special report.
And that's me. I am the special report.
And
no,
now you can introduce yourself in your news.
The special report is that Felicity Smoke is going to be on Legends next week.
What?
It was just announced last night after Arrow. It will be a version of Felicity Smoke. It looks like it might be an alter ego, maybe somebody from another universe. The images are already out. You can go check them out. They're on my Twitter, Arrow Twitter, Mark Guggenheim's Twitter, everything. But she's all suited up and she's got a mask, and I think she's a villain in this version, so it looks pretty cool. So if you're interested, you can go check that out. There's I think there's also some articles with some interviews about what that might look like. She may be tied to another villainous that we've seen before on Arrow, but I won't spoil anything further than that. Just wanted to let you guys know.
Okay, well, two things here. First off, how do you know about Legends news before I do? And I'm the host of a Legends podcast. What the heck?
Flash, I know everything.
You must. That's what makes you a dangerous villain.
Yeah.
Now, the other thing, though, is, I mean, Felicity getting to play some type of superhero. This is what fans have been asking for quite a few seasons now. They want to see her suit up in something. So this could actually be pretty darn cool and exciting.
Yeah, I think it'll be pretty cool. I mean, her costume looks fantastic. They showed the concept art is available online if you want to check it out. But it's also a really cool way to give a nod to the fact that Miss Emily has been training pretty hard. She's one of the most ripped women that show that has, and definitely deserves to have some fight scenes. But also, it's an alter ego, so I don't think this will have ramifications on our Felicity Smoke. She is not evil. Do not worry. She is still our tech goddess. But it's sort of a fun way to play with it without, messing up Felicity Smoke's character.
Well, you're not kidding on her being ripped. Do you see the legs on that girl? Holy cow.
Yeah.
She could choke out a horse with those things.
Yeah. I mean, I guess since we're tacking on news items, Steven posted today a couple videos on his YouTube channel. One of them, I think it's still up there, is of him and Emily working out, which you may have already seen this one because I think he also posted it on Instagram a couple weeks ago. But they're doing this sort of like push-up trust exercise. But yeah, that cast is definitely in shape. So if you need some workout inspiration, that's where to go.
Exactly. Now, other than Felicity, there's another Arrow character that's going to be showing up. You've got something here mm-hmm. about Lila making an appearance on Flash.
Yeah, we've heard that Lila will be showing up on Flash soon. We don't know exactly what episode, but apparently she was filming with them. And they've referenced her a couple times in the past couple episodes, so I think they're priming for that. And then, speaking of Arrow characters showing up elsewhere, if you guys saw or missed the Flash Supergirl crossover musical, Mr. John Barrowman showed up on that as well. And in that as well, he wasn't showing up as Malcolm Merlyn. It was sort of an alternate universe character. So don't worry, our Arrow characters are not being drastically changed on other shows. They're just sort of playing with alternate versions of them. So if you're interested, that was kind of cute as well.
What I'm curious about, real quick, so we don't dive too much into it, did you watch the musical episode this week?
Oh, I sure did.
And what did you think? Because I want to know if my villainous counterpart here actually enjoys musicals and what she thought of the Flash episode.
I get, you know, you asked me at the beginning of this episode what my secret is. My secret is I actually do enjoy musicals. I would not say that this is necessarily my favorite example of television musical extravaganza, but it was pretty cute. I will say, with Arrow's episode today being quite dark and quite action heavy and quite serious and gritty and all of those adjectives we like to use, it's such a stark contrast from what we saw in that musical. Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen two episodes in the same theoretical universe be so different. They had Flash and Supergirl like tap dancing to a song about being super friends. And then it's like you go to Arrow and our heroes are like going through psychological torture and it's kill or be killed. And Arrow is much closer to the dynamic that I prefer to watch. But here I am watching both anyways.
Well, it was a great depiction of the contrast between the two shows overall. Arrow always has been the darker, moodier mm-hmm. show, while Flash is the lighter, fluffier one. So that was, I mean, they really pushed each one to the extreme. Really, really loved the Flash episode. I'm a bit of a softie at heart, and it just touched me in such fun, emotional. Oh, this is awesome. This is just so much fun. And I gotta give props.
All about true love's kiss.
Yeah. But I gotta give props to everybody that performed in there. I mean, we got to see Cisco sing, we got to see Wynn from Supergirl sing, and those two impressed the heck out of me. And
the talented cast.
Yeah, it was awesome. And that song at the end that Grant sang, what come on, what girl wouldn't melt to that and just drop a yes right there and then? Like, come on.
That was something.
Yeah, it was something. Also, that wouldn't work on you.
I'm sure that there is an audience for that type of proposal on TV. I like the musical aspect of it. I don't know. I don't know. It was all right. It was entertaining.
All right. Well, let's get to Arrow then. That's what people are here for. That's what we're here for.
Yes. Yeah.
Give me your, what'd you feel about this episode? What's your rating and feeling?
I liked it a lot. I have the highest rating so far for it of all of my ratings.
I was wondering about that.
Since we start, I know. I gave it an 8 out of 10. I know.
Holy, you are, that's like A territory.
Yeah, that's pretty high for me. Now, I have a bunch of caveats, but do you want to go through what you thought about it first, or do you want me to explain my rating?
Let's hear what you have to say first, yeah.
Okay, so I'm giving it an 8 in terms of content, but not necessarily an 8 as a full episode. So the scenes that we got, both flashback and present day, were definitely good enough to get that sort of great rating, and that they seemed to be building somewhere interesting. The acting was pretty fantastic. You know, Arrow tends to, you know, thrive in that realm sometimes, and they definitely did this time around. And the fight scenes were pretty well executed, present day and flashback. Mm-hmm. And the topic, the hero's journey, felt relevant. I think the reason why I'm rating it only by content and not by episode is that it did not feel like a whole episode. And I don't mean in the sense that I was left wanting more, because, you know, we always talk about on here how, for good TV, we should always be left wanting more, and that's a good thing. But it's just that the episode didn't feel complete. In TV terms, I would have seen this sort of as an Emmy reel episode, where it's really strongly focused on one plot or character or type of scene, sort of to hit it on the nose in the highest quality possible. An example of this we've seen before on Arrow are... usually once per season, they'll have one extremely strong action / stunt heavy episode, often directed by the stunt director. And that's the one that's submitted for their stunt Emmy category. And that's what I felt like this was. And we see this on other shows as well when they're, you know, putting together their, push for nominations or awards. And what's often the case with these type of episodes is we are left with something that plays more as a character reel than a full episode. However, it's a really good character reel. So I enjoyed it, and I rated it highest of all of the episodes so far. Yeah, I mean, it was done well and it was engaging. And after what can only be described as often on character assassination for Oliver in the last over a season, it was definitely needed to sort of bring his character back around to a hero journey. So they sort of, in this episode, broke him down as far as possible so that there's sort of a clear place to build him up for. And I thought that was kind of cool and built a lot of sympathy, I think, from the audience. Which I know here on this show, and we've also seen, you know, from our listeners and online, that there's been some ups and downs for sympathy for Oliver. And I think this has definitely put him in a place where he will have that. And that's really critical to this type of show. So while I see it as sort of a fix-it character reel to address absent characterization and push that aspect, it was the greatest episode so far since we've started rating them on here. That's my spiel. I will turn it over to you.
See, and I thought you were just going to say, oh, the villain owned this episode. It was dark. He had the hero locked up. He was torturing him and threatening him. That's why I love this episode. Go villain.
I mean, I liked the villainy aspects, but as a show overall, they're going to go through, you know, the most of villain will really stick around as one per season, really. Mm-hmm. In terms of big bads, although some, like Merlin, of course, are recurring, it should overall feel like Oliver's hero journey. That's sort of the point of all of it. And I'm the first to sort of root for the villains or be engaged in the side characters and stuff like that. But I do recognize for the show to hold weight, it needs to be about Oliver's journey. And it felt like this was like a huge push to sort of fix some hero's journey deviations we've had and kind of get him back on the right track and really focus/hone in on his hero's journey and what his big conflict needs to be. So that was pretty cool to see. The format of it just felt like a character study rather than an episode, but that's okay. I like that too. It's fine.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I'm glad that you've got a high rating, because I was thinking
about
you.
I want to hear you rate it even higher. I want to hear you fanboy hard on this.
You know I'm totally going to, because, oh man, I gave it a 9.5 point blank arrows. And the reason I went with that is because if you notice in the flashbacks, almost every shot that he took was like within 6 feet of his target. So it was crazy. Anyway, like I said, oh man, like this to me was the absolute best Arrow episode we have had since those great ones of season 2. The only reason that I knocked a half a point off, and I'm going to get this nitpick out of the way right now, was when Oliver broke into the back door of the casino when, Kovar was inside about to give his speech and poison everybody. He takes out that one thug in what I deem to be probably the worst chokeout ever. I mean, it wasn't even close to being believable that would knock that guy out. He barely even had him in a half headlock or like it was not a choke maneuver. It was absolutely horrible. So that's my quick nitpick.
Yeah, I feel you.
But man, like the direction for the rest of this episode was absolutely masterful, to say the least. It had such a slow building crescendo of tension and drama leading into the last 10 minutes, especially when the torture scenes kept transitioning to the fight with Kovar, and it kept getting faster and shorter, and just, it was just building up this peak, and it was just astounding directing. I'm not sure who the director was, but man, the guy did a masterful job. The performances all around by the actors were absolutely fantastic. I would say this was Stephen Amell's, one of his best performances, his best work so far. Seeing him go from being early on in the episode just tough and resistant and, you know, screw you, Prometheus kind of attitude, to when you start right. seeing him feel the pain and the pain start getting to him and he can't fight back the showing it, I guess. And then going from that to when he started pleading for mercy and pleading for, you know, the lives of his friends and whoever else Prometheus was threatening. And then from that, right. you see him start to break down to the point where he actually gets broken. And you almost see him kind of whimpering and crying at a few moments. And it was such great transition of emotion for Stephen Amell. Just fantastic work. I also think with just this single episode alone, our Prometheus or Chase may have put himself right up there alongside Slade as probably the best villain we've had. I mean, this guy does not mess around. He holds true to his threats and delivers on them. He doesn't pull any of his punches at all. I mean, when, you know, he's like, Oliver, you remember those three arrows you stuck in that guy? Well, I got three arrows here for you. Tell me what I need to know. And Oliver doesn't tell him, and swing, 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 and three arrows just like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was just amazing. It just... This episode, what a journey that we just went on, and it was a journey into despair with Oliver. I just felt like we were right alongside with him, and yeah, that's where I'm kind of at with this one. Amazing.
Yeah, I'm with you. I liked, especially you pointed out that there were some really good moments with the direction on this episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I strongly agree with that. Obviously, we're both on the same page. We both liked the acting this episode, but the directing, there was some attention to detail as well. Obviously, the overall structure of the episode was pretty cool, and you know, you mentioned Oliver's sort of rise and fall, but there was some detail going on as well in the flashback. I noticed the aesthetic choices that they made that are sort of pulling the flashbacks out of the feeling of this is forever ago and more into the this is getting more modern, this is getting closer to what we'd be in season one.
Mm-hmm.
There's some clear aesthetic / direction choices that are making that happen, and I thought it was cool.
Yeah, definitely. Well, speaking of moments that you liked, there had to be something that stood out. Or maybe a few moments of studio. What would you pick as your favorite moment of this week?
There were a few moments that stood out, but I would say my favorite moment, the one where I felt most like my face was glued to the screen, was the face-off with Oliver and Evelyn. And that's surprising to me because I've not necessarily...
Yeah.
Yeah, I've not necessarily liked or disliked Evelyn. It's just she was never really around, and you know, I've never been super warm to the newbies. But the scene itself was so well done, and it sort of helped nail home just what type of villain Prometheus really is, and how long term and kind of gruesome his plans can go. So it was definitely one of those watch and don't blink scenes. It was a nod to sort of like a psychological horror trope as well. And I kind of like that aspect of it. And I think when it started, I was really afraid they wouldn't do it very well because obviously they didn't have much time. You know, this couldn't be like a 3-hour movie, but I thought they did it justice for what the show was working with.
Well, because I feel the same, I think most of us felt the same about Evelyn, but I think what was great about bringing her back was they're not leaving that. I think the writers are realizing that they have some open ends they need to tie off. So this kind of, it was a huge open end because everyone's like, where's Evelyn? What happened to her? Like, we haven't seen her since the episode where she betrayed the team.
Right.
So this was a great way, I thought, to bring her back and to let us know that, hey, they haven't forgotten about her. They will work her back into the story somehow. And this was the perfect opportunity. So I like that. I like that the writers are realizing they're not going to let things go unanswered for us. And that, to me, is very, very cool.
Yeah, it's kind of reassuring in a dark, gruesome, not reassuring scene.
Yeah. Well, I got a little, since you brought up Evelyn, I put together a little treat here for you. I pulled out a clip of some of the stuff that was said between her and Oliver, and it's just, I just felt, because we'll get to it later in our show here, but I felt that she was very convincing, and the way she was engaging with Oliver, it had him fooled big time, and he felt pretty, you know, he felt pretty, I don't know, guilty, worried, upset with what has happened to her. So I'll just play this for you, and then you can tell me kind of what your feelings were from this. Here we go.
Sure. I'm sorry, Oliver. I can't take another day here. No, we can't beat him. I didn't know what I was buying into when I sided with him.
It's okay. I forgive you. I think that together we can get through this.
I'm dead. That's all he kept telling me. I'm dead. Because I was a part of your life.
So, yeah. I think just listening to what she was saying to him, it really affected him.
Yeah, it was... I went into it, and I think still to an extent, I left it questioning whether she herself, the character of Evelyn, was the right choice to have that face off. Could have been more impactful if it had been somebody else, possibly. However, with what they had to work with the characters they have this season to work with, I felt like she did a great job. It was sort of unexpected because I hadn't ever been, you know, super impressed with her or unimpressed necessarily in the past.
Right.
But the actual writing, putting aside who she is or is not, the actual writing for that scene and the way it was played felt really strong, and it felt like, you know, psychological torture, and it felt like they were truly messing with Oliver's head, and a kind of gruesome stand. I don't know. It was cool. It kept me engaged.
The feeling that I got from that is that she really sunk it into Oliver's head that he failed her, that she's another innocent victim. You know, he took her in and he obviously failed her because she chose to go to the villain side, and now her life is on the line. So I think that was the point of that, is, you know, you failed me, Oliver. Now I'm dead because of you. And that's exactly what Prometheus kind of sunk in too. I mean, right up to the point of snapping her neck. I mean, I think that was almost what broke Oliver finally in the end. He couldn't handle that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, you loved all of this episode, but you must have had a favorite moment as well. So it's your turn. What got you the most engaged or fist pumping?
Well, like you said, the whole episode, I was riveted. But I think specifically what I really liked was the scenes with Anatoly and the flashbacks, because he just, not only was it showing that the friendship, the brotherhood building between the two of them, but it was Anatoly's wisdom that he kept passing on to Oliver. It was so unknowingly insightful. I mean, it connected so directly to all the events of the future. And he doesn't even know it. He's just spewing out this great wisdom that if Oliver had only have paid heed to it at that time, we might not have had the first couple seasons of Arrow, because, you know, it just blew me away how I don't like in depth his wisdom was. I wish I had another word for wisdom, but it really opened my respect to a much deeper level for Anatoly and how great a character he actually is, and the relationship that he was building with Oliver, which is fantastic. And so based on that, I've also got a little bit of a special clip here just to give you an example of some of the things Anatoly said and why I was feeling that.
You're a fool to think a piece of cloth can separate man from monster. Dividing yourself in two will only make monsters stronger until it is stronger than you.
You knew what I was capable of back on the MU.
Yeah. But this man I see now, bears more resemblance to Slade Wilson or Anthony Ivo.
See what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I really enjoyed the flashbacks this episode for the most part, especially the moments with both Kovar and Anatoly. Mm-hmm. But I thought, as you're pointing out, the way that they tied into present day was really not just engaging, but definitely helpful in figuring out what they meant for the main point to be present day, because they do leave quite a lot of this episode sort of a bit of a mystery as to what Prometheus's goal is. What is he trying to get Oliver to say, and why is he trying to get Oliver to say that? And the flashbacks really help illuminate what the sort of theme and message is supposed to be. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, exactly. I just, it makes me really, like I said, I think this episode really sunk in Anatoly as someone when they bring it back to the future, I really want to see him and Oliver connect again somehow and just somehow be friends, because I really, really liked their friendship in the flashbacks. They've been through a hell of a lot together.
Right.
So.
Yeah. I think it's pretty cool, and I'm excited to see some of the flashback people come into play present day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
Well, let's move forward a little bit. Speaking of present day, we got a little, again, yet another big blog post from our friend Erin. Did you want to highlight some of the few things she had to say?
I would love to. Reading Erin's post is always one of the highlights after we share our episode. And if any of you guys want to post comments there on the blog where we post our podcasts, you're welcome to do so as well, just like Erin. So here's what we got. Now, this is in reference to last week's episode, although some of what she says definitely ties into what we talked about this week as well. So she points out that she is finding, like we said, that Prometheus is a good villain challenge-wise for Oliver, because he's sort of always 10 steps ahead. And in terms of the goal, she says maybe Adrian wants season one Oliver back, because that's who killed his father, not this nicer version. So that seems a bit prophetic of what we saw this week.
Yeah, it's like almost Prometheus would feel less guilty himself about teaching Oliver a lesson if he can break Oliver and force that darker version of him to come out, and then it gives Prometheus a reason to exact his revenge fully.
It's
a good point there.
It's like Prometheus wants Oliver to understand why Prometheus wants to kill him, right, or end him, or get him to kill himself. Anyways, she goes on to share with us some EW spoilers about Felicity that Mark Guggenheim shared in his interview regarding the Helix storyline, which we talked about a lot last week. She pointed out that Mark says that they're starting to put Felicity in Oliver's footsteps a bit, so she's getting a chance to experience things a bit more from his perspective. And this is in reference to the fact that Felicity's having to make morally gray choices or work with morally gray people. Erin points out Felicity broke up with Oliver because he kept secrets and didn't trust people, and now Felicity is in a position where she too is sort of keeping secrets and having to figure out who she can trust. And in the past, there's ran into issues with Oliver trusting Malcolm Merlyn and keeping secrets about his son and so on. So Mark pointed out that that's sort of on their road to reconciliation, and she wanted to share that with us. So we appreciate that being shared as well. She says she does not mind them putting Felicity in a gray area to have personal experience with those hard choices. And she goes on to agree with you and me about our nitpick with Dinah's cry and how that could have been used instead of Curtis's T-spheres. Yes, we agree, but we understand it is TV land. And she said she thought Susan was an interesting addition and loved the debate as to whether or not she was genuine or not. And later in her post, she goes on to say that Susan working with Prometheus would have been better than just being bait. Okay. She also said that Talia-centric episode, maybe with Nisa would be interesting. I agree. She said,
so say we all.
Yes, I strongly agree. Maybe bring on the villainy version of Felicity to come work with them as well. That would be cool. The one that's going to show up on Legends, whatever. So she also says Dinah's awesome so far and does not want to bring William, Oliver's son, back in. Too many negative season 4 vibes with him. I think I kind of agree with that. That whole storyline was not handled the best.
Yeah. But he's been mentioned. He even got mentioned in this week's episode. So they might, that, again, that's another loose end. They might have to tie off somehow. So
yeah,
you never know. But sadly. Cool. Well, thank you so much again, Aaron, for that wonderful big blog post. It's kind of like you're a third host with, I think I said that before.
Yeah, we love getting all the comments and the questions and all of that. So if there's ever any part of the episode you particularly want us to discuss, or you have any questions that you want to have us answer or stump us with, always feel free to drop us a line on the blog post, or you can always just tweet me or whatever, and it will work its way onto the show.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's get into the actual story of our episode. Where did you want to go first this time?
Let's start with present day. Are you okay with starting with?
Sure. Well, it's the smallest section of the show, I would say. So,
yeah, the episode was pretty flashback heavy, so we'll just knock the Prometheus versus Oliver part off first. So one of the things that stood out to me when I was reflecting on this episode was that most of the present day content all took place in the little span of one room. What did you think of sort of the setting and the world they created for the interrogation, torture, breakdown of Oliver Queen?
Well, I thought it was perfect. We didn't have to go anywhere else. I mean, we don't know where it was. We don't know the location, but it obviously looked like a dirty, run down like old jail cell of some kind.
Yeah.
And the set piece was exactly what you would think Prometheus would, I guess, would use in that instance to keep Oliver, you know, trapped and locked up in chains kind of thing. It was a great set piece. It was very basic. There wasn't much to it, but it suited the feeling they were trying to convey that, you know, here's our hero locked up in a basement somewhere, and he's going to get beat down, he's going to get hurt, he's going to get broken, and that you don't need much more for, you don't need anything elaborate. I thought it was a great, what would you call it? Visual, I guess.
Yeah.
That's, you know, you don't need a fancy set piece for something like that. It was beautiful. It was great.
I thought it was cool because over time, throughout the episode, when you're only seeing that present day anyways, when you're only seeing that room, you do start to get the feel of sort of being trapped in it. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that's another good point for sure, is that
it
the entire sequence, everything was just in the one room. So that really sinks in how dire this situation is. And it's a great storytelling that they can film this entire sequence just in one room and pull it off as well as they did. That shows you how great the tension and drama was, because it wasn't until long after the show ended that you would think about it and go, yeah, that whole thing was only in one room. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It sort of forces Oliver to get into his mind about it, which makes the flashbacks make sense. And then it sort of forces us to sort of get into his mind. And that's kind of cool. And I think one of the things is it starts to get under your skin a little bit, that they're not really showing any of the other characters, any of the cuts to light drama or to fun bits or the familiar faces that we know. And I think that's the point. You know, we're sort of supposed to feel isolated from them the way Oliver was. So as much as I definitely wanted more content from them, I thought the setting and the aesthetic was kind of cool. It played into the whole trapped on an island metaphor.
Actually, I will say right there on that point that I'm glad they didn't cut to any scenes of the Arrow Cave or other characters, because I think that would have broken up the tension that they were building. Because like I said in the beginning, there was a slow crescendo rising as the tension built and the drama and the music. And I think if they cut to other scenes, we would have lost that and would have had to start over again. So I'm actually glad they didn't. Because as you said, it really portrayed
that, world.
Yeah, that feeling of being trapped. And that was excellent. Excellent directing choice for sure.
Yeah. By the way, if I sound like a frog right now, it's because of allergies. Or like a frog mixed with like a call girl mixed with like a teenage boy. That's why. Just thought I should let everybody know.
You just put a crazy image into people's minds.
some mashup of those three things. That's why I sound like this right now. Huh. I apologize. Unless it's working for anybody, and then I guess I don't apologize. But back to Oliver trapped in this room. We see Prometheus / Chase trying to break Oliver down mentally, and also physical torture is involved. Which was more jarring to you? Did you have a moment that you sort of felt was the strongest or elicited the most visceral reaction?
Well, I think that the physical and the mental, I think they were pretty even, because Prometheus kind of switched back and forth between the two of them. He was mentally trying to break him down, and when Oliver wouldn't budge, he would turn to physical torture, and then that would break Oliver a little bit, and then he'd go back to the mental. So they kind of played back and forth with each other. But on a visceral reaction, I think that one last scene with the blowtorch, when Oliver's pretty much done and broken and gave Prometheus what he wanted, he still wasn't finished with him yet. And he pulls out the blowtorch and he's like, you can't be an American wearing a Russian captain of the Bratva tattoo. That just doesn't work for me. I'm going to help you with that. This is a gift. And he just, I mean, they actually showed it a little bit, that the torch burning, and that the, and again, another performance milestone for Stephen Amell was it looked like he was really in pain when, as soon as that flame hit him and he realized, whoa, oh my God, that hurts. Yeah, it was fantastic. So that one, I think, really, really stuck out for me. But then also the scene with the three arrows, when a little bit previous to that, when, you know, Prometheus just says, hey, three arrows into this guy. Unless you tell me what I want to know, I'm going to give you the same three arrows. And like I said, he didn't hold his punches and he held true to his threats. And you saw the first arrow go in, and then you heard the next two, and it's just the sound and Oliver moaning from the pit. Like, yeah, it's just like, wow. And it's those moments that really sunk in. Like, Prometheus is a serious villain here. Holy cow.
I think I agree, especially with the three arrows bit, because that was sort of early enough on to where I don't think we were really at that, for me anyways, I wasn't really aware as to how violent those scenes were going to get. Mm-hmm. So that was sort of like okay, we're going here. And the three arrows was such a good callback as well, because if you think of the context in which Oliver shot the three arrows into Count Vertigo, he was killing this guy who was not about to kill somebody. He was killing Count Vertigo because Count Vertigo was going to inject Felicity with the Vertigo drug, which would not kill her. It would just, you know, harm her. We had seen Diggle go through that before. Right. So it was Oliver breaking his no-kill rule, and it wasn't to save a life. It was he didn't want to see Felicity in pain. So it was a very morally gray choice if you really think about it. And I think that that's showing Prometheus is A, really aware of Oliver's past kills and the context of them, and B, is aware of what he sort of needs to point out and get under Oliver's skin, no pun intended, to make him sort of aware of some of these choices that he's made. Now, of course, we were obviously rooting for Oliver to kill Count Vertigo. Like, that's fine. But it's a very good example for Prometheus to pull to sort of convince Oliver, you enjoy killing, you want to kill, even if it's not necessarily to save a life.
Right. Right.
So it's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. Well, we've had our ups and downs with Prometheus as a villain this season, but I feel like I left this episode with a pretty clear idea of who is under that mask now. So how do you think that ties back around to who Oliver is as a hero? So we've got our hero and villain face-off. What are you thinking about it now? What does it say about Oliver?
Well, I think it calls back to what you started to say, that Prometheus was trying to break him down to a point where he reverts to the Oliver in the beginning of season one. I think that's really what it, because whether Oliver actually is that person, Prometheus's goal here was to try to prove to him that he's never, no matter what he does, he can't change who he actually is, and that, and no matter all the growth and whatever that he's done over the last 5 years, it's not going to matter. This is him at his core. So now that Oliver is broken down, and we saw how the episode ended, I think Oliver really, really has to evaluate a few things, and it really makes me curious what's going to happen, because we still got six episodes to go. So this is a hard question. I can't give you a full final answer to, because I'm not sure. We have to wait to see what happens.
Right.
But I mean, Prometheus, I think, was maybe trying to mimic who Oliver was a little bit in season one, and trying to show Oliver, like, I'm not any worse than you were. You came home and you were dealing justice to people you thought deserved it. They had families, they had wives and children, but that didn't stop you. So what? How am I any worse? How am I the villain here? You did the same thing and claimed yourself to be, you know, hero of the city. So, and I really liked that take on it. I think that was really starting to sink into Oliver's mind and open his eyes to believing, you know what, he's actually right. I am no better, which may have led into why he wants to quit.
Yeah, I think. I agree with that, and I think that the things that Prometheus is pointing out to Oliver are definitely so relevant to the questions Oliver has had about himself this whole time. I think a lot of the questions that we as audience members have had as to, you know, what kind of hero is he and what is his goal when you take away the bits like the book and avenging his father, you know, is he different from Talia, who's trying to avenge her father? If you take away him trying to protect his city, is he different from other villains who have claimed, you know, laid claim to different areas? So I think that these are questions that will be interesting to see him answer. I think we can sort of predict what his answers may be in terms of, you know, what he thinks is good versus what he thinks is not good, and, you know, what the ultimate values are that he holds, but it would be kind of cool to see those unfold.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Well, I don't know. Should we move on to the flashbacks? Because that,
yeah, I think we should.
Yeah. That, I mean, I think we could talk for quite a while just about Oliver's journey here and where it might be leading, but I think it's also going to be very exciting to see where, well, exciting and maybe not a happy excitement, but I'm feeling as a viewer, I'm kind of broken with Oliver. Like, you know, I feel like I want to put my arm around him and like, hey buddy, we'll get through this. But it's I want to see what happens in the next couple episodes to see where he is going to go after this.
Yeah, I definitely think there will be some interesting development in the next couple episodes, both present day and in the flashbacks. And this was our flashback heavy episode of the season.
Which I actually really, really loved. I did not mind at all. I saw a few people complain on the Facebook page that, what, this is going to be all flashback though. Like, and I actually totally, I think these were the best flashbacks we have had in a long, long time. Just like, this was the best episode we had in a long time, and I loved being stuck in this world revolving around his time in the Broadfell with Anatoly. It was deep, and it was dramatic, and just seeing the relationship between him and Anatoly, and how deeply connected to each other they are. I love these scenes. And I mean, they brought Dolph Lundgren back, and I've been waiting. You listeners have known I've been waiting for him, because I loved when he first showed up, and he's such an intimidating actor to play the leader of the Russian mob. And I just, it was so good to see him back. And the fight sequence between him and Oliver was absolutely fantastic. It was right at the height of the torture scenes, and that's when we were getting the quick cuts back and forth, and it was a brutal, brutal fight. And I loved it. I loved every second of it.
I thought it was pretty cool as well. I can definitely sympathize with those who are like, oh, we're getting even more flashbacks, because I think that is sort of our automatic response, because it's true. A lot of times the flashbacks have been a little bit skippable.
But not this season.
Yeah, this episode and this season just in general, I feel like the flashbacks have come around a bit and definitely been, I don't know, pretty interesting, definitely watchable. And this episode, they definitely prioritized making sure the flashbacks had a watchable story that was tied into present day, that had good action, characters we actually knew and, you know, wanted to watch, you know, and they also tied in Malcolm Merlyn, which I thought was really interesting as well. So yeah. I liked the flashbacks this week. But do I like the flashbacks this week better than I like normally having more present day stuff? I don't know. But they were good.
Well, like I said, I didn't mind at all. I thought it was well tied together, and
yeah,
with the directing of how the episode was bouncing back and forth between the two. I honestly didn't care that we were spending more time in the flashbacks. It was well worth it. This story was well written and deep enough and held my attention. I was glued to the screen and edge of my seat and, you know, chin in my hands and just like, oh, this is awesome. So did not mind one bit.
I have a question then. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Kovar, at the end, we get the big reveal that he is not dead. That's Dolph's character.
Yeah.
Do you think we'll get to see him present day? Is he behind Prometheus? Is he the real big bad? What's going to go on with that? Man,
how cool would that be if we see him in present day? That would be awesome. Well, I don't know. I mean, look at it. It's like they made it seem like they brought him back from the dead. So I don't know who that heavily bearded Russian street doctor was and if he had access to something that may give Dolph some extra ability. We don't know. I don't know what's going on there, but the way he opened eyes, yeah, I think that's going to lead to something a little bit bigger. And I don't know my DC villain history super in depth, so is there another Russian character out there that he could turn into?
I don't know. Again, I don't know DC history super in depth either. Mm-hmm.
Well,
but
listeners,
I don't really know. And would they turn him into like a meta superhero for a final villain, or is that not Arrow-y enough?
Yeah, see, they might not. But I mean, they did do the whole Mirakuru thing, which we are all totally fine with. So is there something along that line? Or did they just save him? And since they brought him back from death, is he a little bit more messed up now? And he's just going to go on a revenge thing to get Oliver, because now he knows Oliver is the Hood.
You know? Right.
So I don't know. I'm excited. I'm glad that this wasn't, because when Oliver stabbed him in the casino there, I thought, oh man, like it was awesome, but they killed Dolph off. Like after two episodes, he's done. No way. Come on. But so I'm very happy that he's not gone, and I can't wait to see him come back whenever it may be.
Yeah,
it might not even be the season. It might not. They may just leave it at that. He opened his eyes, and that's all we're going to see of him now for a little bit.
Yeah, so I definitely think he's going to show up present day. I do. Cool. But I will say, I think my favorite moment with his character in the flashbacks this week was actually his big, grand, slightly villainy speech at the party. That felt so Arrow to me, because we know it's very Arrow to have a giant yet dangerous party, right? Where everything goes bad and everything explodes and somebody dies, right? that felt very season one Arrow to me. I was watching that, and I was watching this sort of like leader of the mob throw this lavish party and, you know, give this grand speech. And I was sort of like, this feels very Arrow season one. So I can feel the flashbacks aesthetically coming around to where we started season one.
Yeah, well, of Arrow. They are trying to connect it. I mean, the flashbacks are tying right into that point in the timeline. So, of course, it makes sense that you're going to start feeling that and recognizing that. Yeah. And I think it's cool. I think it's great because it's making. I mean, the fact that we all love season one, season two so much, to be getting this feeling, this emotion that, hey, it's starting to connect and it looks like those seasons, is part of what's making this season so much better than what we've had the last two. So it's great.
Yeah, I thought it was pretty cool. Yeah. I know I'm with you. We sometimes see seasons one and two with sort of rose-colored glasses. I know they had their ups and downs as well. But I do like that it's coming around and sort of tying aesthetically to them. Mm-hmm. I also thought it was well played that the tattoo that he got then, when he was sort of tapping into his monster side or whatever, and the flashbacks was removed present day when he's now confronted that side and wants that side to die, or alleged monster side, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think that was a real cool connect from past to present and just the side of villain to hero. Yeah. It was, I mean, and what it symbolizes, it was a great transition between the two. And the fact that it was a villain that was removing the tattoo, I mean, that's kind of crazy and cool all in itself.
Yeah, I agree. So there's not too much else to the episode other than the flashbacks and the Prometheus face-off, but I thought we'd also kind of chat a little bit about some of the other characters that were referenced or we saw at the very end. So other than Evelyn, which we kind of touched on that already, in terms of who Prometheus knew to threaten, the focus was, of course, on Felicity and Diggle. And that's who we sort of see at the end when Oliver comes wanting to disband the team. So how do you think they're going to react? And in what ways are they going to be in danger from Prometheus? What do you want to see with that?
Well, it was great that Prometheus knew who to pull on to try to break Oliver. I mean, when he pulled the glasses out of his shirt and he just smiles with that really wicked smile, and he's like, she didn't even know I was in her apartment. Like, that was creep factor times 10.
Yes, and, I agree.
You know, and that also really got to Oliver, because he's like, please, please do not hurt her. If you do, I'm going to kill you. But like, it... Yeah, I mean, again, all these little aspects of Prometheus are just really sinking in how great of a villain he is. So, now bringing it back to the end when Felicity and Diggle see him there, you know, I don't know, like, their reaction, they looked, I mean, they were concerned right off the bat, like, holy, are you okay? I was a little bit surprised none of them rushed to his side to kind of help hold him up or anything. I thought that was a little bit weird because, you know, he starts to climb the stairs and Diggle's just like, whoa, take it slow, man. Like, why not jump down and help your buddy? He's obviously hurt. So I thought that was a little bit odd, but...
They were trying to keep that blocking so that they could get the edge shot of him facing them.
Yeah, I guess. But, you know, with them, they were first, of course, relieved that he's there, but they're also shocked that he came back and Prometheus let him go. So I think they're a little bit in shock, like, okay, he's going to tell us what happened, isn't he? Like, what the hell happened? And then when he said he's done, he's shutting it down, I think that added more shock on top of that. And they don't, I mean, in the moment, they didn't know what to do, what to say. So I'm hoping that next week kind of takes off right from there. I hope it just doesn't jump ahead, you know, 5 days from now and we miss a big... I hope it continues right from that point and we see them either... I have a feeling Diggle's going to oppose that idea right away and say, okay, why?
Oh, for sure.
What happened? And I think Felicity might not. I think she might... I think her care for Oliver is going to come out, and she's going to be more concerned why he wants to lay down the bow and arrows there. We're going to see two fronts from that. We're going to see one, Diggle trying to say, wait a sec. We've got to get this guy. Look what he did to you. We've got to get him. And we're going to see Felicity, I think, this is just my guess, go to his side and say, no, you know what? Look at him. He's obviously been through the ringer. We need to support him and make sure he's okay first.
Yeah, I do think we're going to see that, especially because I think they have shown, you know, they've built up Felicity now to a place where they're saying, you know, she's gone through this stuff and she's gone through these choices. So she's understanding the sort of darkness that Oliver's having to deal with. And then we've also seen Diggle come off of some independent storylines to where I would understand him coming from a independent perspective and saying, you know, no, I'm going to keep the team alive anyways, regardless of whatever you say. So that makes sense to me. And I know if you saw the trailer for next week, we do see some hints of a standoff between Oliver and Diggle. So I think that's going to happen.
Well, you know that I don't see the previews, so.
Oh, never mind. You heard nothing and saw nothing.
I don't know what you're talking about. Felicity in a Huntress costume? What? What were we talking about?
I'm always here to talk about Felicity in a Huntress costume.
Well, I think that about wraps us up for the episode.
Yes.
We do have a few transmissions, don't we?
Yes, we've got our viewers' thoughts to go through.
All right, one second here. That's our new transition.
I love it. I feel very important coming after that.
All right.
With our first transition from I'm Just Here for Felicity. So she emailed us this week and she had some thoughts and some favorite moments. So she says, great flashbacks this week. I actually enjoyed them more than present day stuff because I have to say it got boring quick with nothing being said. Yes, there were words in the scene, but really Oliver and Adrian said nothing this week because we're in the same place we were last week with them. We just got a repeat of things Oliver's done in the past. Yes, Oliver said he killed because he liked it, because he always had to, but did that really surprise anyone? As given his skills, he could have taken people down instead of killing them all, and we've seen him go to such extremes, such as the case Cammy always references, oh, that's me, where he killed the cop simply for seeing his face. I have to say I was disappointed in that, reason being drug out, and thus again it had me really checking out for most of the present stuff this episode. But back to positives in the flashback, she goes on to say, Anatoly was easily my favorite of this episode with his snarky lines like gangster and confronting Oliver about his darkness in the cellar. And it was nice to see Evelyn still exist in the show world. It was a shame she wasn't used more often. She goes on to say that back in the beginning, Evelyn was actually one of her favorite newbies before Dinah. And although she's been absent for so long, it would have been sad if she had just died without us getting to see her again. So, because of the flashbacks this week, she rates the episode pretty good overall.
So, is she saying that Dinah is her favorite newbie?
I think if you read between the lines.
That's what I'm reading. I'm so glad she's winning everybody over. Well, I guess not everybody's going to be happy with the torture scenes. It's for me, they were fantastic. So, but I understand her perspective. I think feeling like it's been said and done already. But you know, for me, it was just done so well that I thought there was some great drama in there. And yes, Anatoly was absolutely priceless this episode. Because even though the episode was very serious, that the humor was in some of those scenes with Oliver and Anatoly. There actually was some great lines in there that I totally forgot about until you just mentioned that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I was totally on board with this episode going a little bit dark, but I know not everyone was. And we did get some feedback on that front from Miss Green Butterfly. She wrote in this week and she said, "This is your eye in the sky, Green Butterfly." And the reason she's writing this week is because she had a cold. So coughing is keeping her from doing her usual recording. I feel you. I have allergies and I sound a mess myself.
Green Butterfly. Get well.
She said that she gives the acting this week a 10, even though she did not enjoy the episode. The performances deserve accolades. She said there was a bit too much violence and torture in this episode for the Green Butterfly to get any enjoyment out of it. And she was left wanting a little more from the current timeline of the team looking for Oliver or trying to run the city despite the mayor being missing. And she hopes Prometheus does not find William. So that was her rating of the episode. So we appreciate her writing in.
Yeah. Well, you know what? And I actually, Green Butterfly, you did cross my mind while watching this. I had thought to myself, you know what? Our friend Justina is not going to enjoy this one. I think it's a little too dark and a little too heavy for her because she's kind of sensitive to this stuff. And anytime an episode has gone this path, she has not been very comfortable. So that's unfortunate. I mean, that's too bad. It was good. I'm glad that you put such high regard on their performances because, yes, they definitely deserve the accolades for that. So, but still, thanks, Green Butterfly. We hope you get better and are able to flutter along your way with the big smile as we're used to having from you.
Yes. We have one more piece of feedback from Christy. She wrote in and she had a couple questions as well for us. She says, question number one, why is it so important for Chase for Oliver to admit that he enjoyed killing people? And question number two, does Oliver still enjoy killing now? What do you think? We'll start that off.
I think we kind of answered that already in our discussion when we were saying that the point about, I think Prometheus wanted to break Oliver down to where he was like in season one, that monster, because I think for Chase to hurt him and torture him and exact his revenge, he needs Oliver to be at the same level as him and not, in his mind, pretending to be a good guy when Chase does not believe him to be, because like we were saying, how is Oliver any better than him when Oliver also went around killing people because he thought they deserved it, leaving their families without fathers and husbands and stuff? So I think that's why Chase wanted him to admit it, was to bring him to the same level where he feels like they're the same.
Yeah, I agree. And I think Chase is wanting Oliver to acknowledge a part of himself that may now be past and or may be more a result of Oliver trying to control his life and surroundings because of what he's gone through rather than him having a pre-existing desire to kill. So Christy goes on in her message and she says, it seems like he only kills in dire circumstances now, mostly. I would have thought the thrill of killing ended when Tommy died and he made a vow not to kill anyone. That said, Oliver's behavior in Russia was a little frightening and hard to watch, she says. It was really poetic to see what Anatoly had to say back then about not being able to suppress the monster inside of him. Yeah. And she says there was some fantastic acting from Stephen Amell in this episode, especially while he was chained up. Also, great directing towards the end when they kept quickly flashing back and forth between Oliver fighting in Russia and the pinnacle of Chase's interrogation when Oliver finally snapped and confessed.
Yes.
Great thought.
You basically reworded everything that I felt, and I'm so glad you feel the same, Christy. Because the tension was building and it was getting faster and faster and more intense. So it was, fantastic directing for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for that, Christy. I think that's all we got for feedback this week, hey?
That is all we got.
Yeah.
Next episode is called Disbanded.
Disbanded. What could that possibly
episode 518.
Well, I mean, a couple other little quick points. I mean, the ending with Oliver giving up.
Yeah.
That's crazy because we got 6 episodes to go.
Yeah.
What are they going to do over the next 6 episodes? Is it going to be a journey to him deciding to be a hero again? Or is it going to be the team working and operating without him? What's it going to do? I mean, this was a dark, dark side of Oliver that we saw, and now he's broken.
Well, although I am a villain, I will say it's probably going to be the hero prevailing in the end. It's just a matter of how we get there.
Right, right, exactly. Well, I don't know. I don't know about the rest of the squad. I don't know about you, Cammy, but I so enjoyed this episode that this has got me pumped up for Arrow and for the rest of this season. It rocked it. And actually, the last few episodes have been so, so good and so well done that I really, really feel Arrow has found itself again and found its groove. And if this is how it's going to be and it leads into season 6 like this with the same writing team, I am so looking forward to it, where we're going.
Yeah, I enjoyed this week as well. I did, and I'm looking forward to next week. I'm looking forward to more of this sort of darker, grittier side to Arrow, but with more of the team members showing up next week to counter it.
Yeah, and I'm sure we'll get most of our team in next week. Seems out of here. Well, awesome, Cammy. This was fun. I was very excited to get into this one with you. Yeah. For the rest of the squad, thanks for being with us. If you want to continue, I don't know, listening to me talk about DC TV shows, come on over to Tomorrow's Legends, where me and my other villainous counterpart, Harley Quinn, talk about Legends of Tomorrow. Join us over there.
Yeah. And if you want to chat with me more about Arrow or anything else, you can find me on Twitter or whatever social media site you like to use at Cammy and Ray. And on my Facebook, I've got some live reactions to Arrow that I do after the episodes as well. If you want to hear some immediate unfiltered thoughts after the episode, you can check those out as well.
Awesome. All right, Cammy. Well, until next week. Talk to you later. This is The Flash, signing off.
And this is Cammy. Goodbye.
Arrow Squad is presented by Golden Spiral Media at goldenspiralmedia.com.